Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
For our call to worship this morning, I have selected Psalm 48, 9 to 11, and verse 14. Inside your temple, O God, we think of your constant love. You are praised by people everywhere, and your fame extends over all the earth. You rule with justice. Let the people of Zion be glad. This God is our God forever and ever. He will lead us for all time to come. Lord, we will be satisfied if you feed us, and we will now sing praises to your name.
Lord, in the silence of this moment, we come before you. Thanks be to God for Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the spiritual discernment that you give us if we only ask. Especially want to hold up Bert this morning in his healing process. We pray, Lord, that his leg will continue to heal and that he will be made whole again. Thank you for his dedication to our church. Also this morning, we ask for a blessing on Reed as he presents your word to us this morning. Fill him with your spirit. Thank you for his dedication and serving of you. Today, we remember your creative power, Lord, and the day that was made for us. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
The story that I'm going to tell you is found in Luke, the 17th chapter. And let's see, I don't see any Bibles up here. And it'll be verses 11 through 17. Do any of you know what this is about? It was in the bulletin. Did your parents tell you anything about it? Because it affects them. And I'll tell you how later on. Now listen carefully. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, and it doesn't tell us which one that was, there he met 10 men who were lepers, okay, very good, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Master, Jesus, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, listen carefully to how he worded this. This is what Jesus said. Go, show yourselves to the priests. Okay? Luke continues to write here. And this is what he says. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. So what did they have to do? Pardon? Yeah, show themselves to the priest. But what did they have to do first? Pardon? Walk. That's exactly right. So so when they walked, what was happening while they were walking? They were being cleansed at that particular time. But you notice that they had to do what first? They had to turn around and they had to walk. And as they walked, so they made a choice. They made a specific choice that they would go ahead and they would head for the priest, because that meant that they believed what Jesus said, didn't they? Otherwise, they wouldn't do it, right? Okay? They didn't ask, Jesus, touch me. They didn't ask that, did they? They just turned around and headed for Jerusalem. Okay, now in verse 15, it says this, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet. So he just fell right down in front of Jesus, giving him thanks. and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to them, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." Now, what did the Samaritan do? He came back. What else did he do? Pardon? Yeah. He thanked Jesus, right? Okay. So you got thank you is one of the phrases, okay? Now, the other one will come out in the sermon and also in the song, and that is, "I love you." That's 3 words, isn't it? Anyway, now the reason why I want to say this, have you told your parents, your mother, your dad that you love them? Have you ever done that? Okay, good. The heads are running in the right direction. This is very, very important. There are 2 things that I want you to get today, and you'll hear it in the sermon I already mentioned. That is, I love you and thank you. It's very important that you thank people. Like, take for instance Caitlin in the song. I want to thank her for writing that song. I gave her the topic and some information, and she wrote the song herself. And Kathy, playing the instrument. You think she just did this in 5 minutes? Just sat down? And away she goes. So I need to thank her, don't I? Now, another thing you need to do, and I'm going to be red-faced for even saying this, but when somebody is up here telling you a story, do they prepare beforehand? Do you ever thank them for telling the story? No, that's right. But think about it. So thank people and tell your parents that you love them. Okay, would all of you stand? Okay, turn around and say, "Thank you." Okay. Okay, let's kneel now. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We're thankful for your love to each one of us. And also, we want to thank you. Thank you for Jesus who gave everything for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for protecting us. And thank you for our mothers and our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.
someone in torment? Have you? Visited the sick, fed the hungry, held the lonely. If tomorrow never came, would you be ready? If tomorrow never came, what would you do? Would you hold out your hand, say a prayer for a friend, if tomorrow never
Our scripture for today is a responsive reading number 787 in the back of your hymnals, Christianity in Practice. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal, but aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing, you will reap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Folks, let's turn to 1 Peter 1:22. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Love one another how? deeply. The Living Bible writes it, is written this way. Now you can have real love for everyone because your souls have been cleansed from selfishness and hatred when you trusted Christ to save you. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly and with all your hearts. And a text which we all know quite well, and that is John 13:35, and this is taken from the Revised Standard Version. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams, so I turn out the lights and lay there in the dark, and a thought crosses my mind. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, so much we desire that your Spirit be here. We pray, we ask, we plead for your Holy Spirit to come into each one of us, to make us Christ-like. May your Holy Spirit live within us, that we will do your work, demonstrate your love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way that I feel about her in my heart if tomorrow never comes? Will she know how much I love her? Do I try in every way to show her every day that she is the only one? And if my time on earth were through and she must face the world without me, is I love her, love I gave her in the past going to be enough to last? If tomorrow never came? Because I've lost loved ones in my life who never knew how much I loved them. Now I live with that regret that my true feelings for them was never revealed. So I made a promise to myself to say each day how much she means to me and avoid the circumstances where there's no second chance to tell how I feel. So tell that someone that you love just what you're thinking of if tomorrow never comes. This week, you and I and our families will be making our way to various homes. They'll either be coming, we'll be going to theirs, or they'll be coming to us, to ours, to celebrate Thanksgiving. And this will be followed by Christmas. Let those joyous times be opportunities to let our friends and our relatives know how much they mean to us. For tomorrow may not come, nor another Thanksgiving, nor another Christmas. Sobering thoughts. Betty Kosick, in her Adventist Review article, tell someone today, I love you. And this is a true story that happened to her. And she writes in her byline here, the day after his death, I took my pen and I wrote a poem about my love for him. Too late, she writes, too late. My friend's sudden death, violent and unexpected, shocked everyone who knew him. He was a gentleman, ever giving of himself. I loved him, but I never told him. What she's talking about here is a brother in the church. This man was a deacon that had visited their family, and in so doing, She did not encourage him. She didn't say, I love you or I care or anything else. She just didn't do it. And she's sort of lamenting the fact that she didn't. She continues, the day before his death, he visited my husband and me. He was a deacon, and the young couples of the church seemed to be his special love outreach. During his visit, he shared his personal heartache. He must have needed to hear, I love you, but I was mute. The day after his death, I took my pen and I wrote a poem of my love to him, but that is too late. I felt broken because of my neglect. However, as the mythical phoenix rose out of the ashes, so writing as I did in anguish, in the anguished time, prepared me for love, to love more completely. I made a vow to God never to let I love you go unsaid to anyone that I appreciated. I asked the Holy Spirit to guide me into a deeper love experience with others. Almost immediately, I felt impressed to write a love letter. I began that day. Frequently, I found myself waking in the hushed hours of the night to write a certain person. These letters turned into a venture with the Lord. I discovered these I love yous were arriving exactly at the time the person needed encouragement. It was like finding a treasure full of love's precious stones. Is this something you and I can do for someone else? Some people are not do not enjoy going to the door or something like that, but we can write. In fact, it's my birthday was yesterday, and I got cards. I don't know. Either I'm getting sentimental or something like that, but I sure enjoyed those cards. It means a lot. And most of us remember Virginia Farnham, how she used to call. In fact, people got so that Friday night, they expected a call. It was just, there was something about being contacted and being talked to, no matter what it was about, just an encouragement of some sort, meant a lot to them. And in fact, there are the pastor and I were visiting a lady, and she doesn't get out very much, and she's at home. In fact, when you walk up the ramp that goes into her house there, you'll see her sitting in the chair, rocking back and forth, just sitting there, sometimes reading, sometimes just sitting there. I knocked on the window, and she smiled from ear to ear. It was something else. But the thing that was interesting to us was that those who had visited her and had to go to Saudi Arabia, I'll give you a clue who that one was, and that was the fact, she says, I have not been visited for a long time. Now, when you're in Saudi Arabia, it's a little tough just to fly back and forth. My whole point here is, though, that the people who do the visiting, Dorothy and Anna Reed, visited this person quite frequently, and it meant so much to her. And then when the pastor and I visited, and we were trying to leave, she says, can't you stay? Now, brother, if you want to start crying, brother, that's one of them, to realize that when you walk out that door, she's there by herself. So, this is something that happens more frequently than we'd like to think of. We need to really care about each one of them. And I hope Anna Reed and Dorothy, you don't mind my picking on the two of you, because you do a lot of it. And we got several people that do a lot of visiting. But what I want to do is encourage all of you to do that, to care for each other so much and show that love to one another. And when visitors come, to show that love that you have for each one of them, because it does make a difference to us. She continues, and she tells another story, and I thought this was sort of interesting. Betty discovered that these I love you letters helped others and also helped her. It also helped her to say, I love you. Now, this is sometimes difficult. Some people have a lot of trouble with saying, I love you, and especially to say it verbally. The person with whom the love was shared responded in kind. I love you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Ardith is probably the best example that I know of those who can say verbally at the end of a telephone conversation, I love you. And it doesn't make any difference, man or woman. She says the same thing at the end, and she really means what she says. By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. My favorite author in Thoughts on the Mount of Blessings on page 23 wrote this, a word of sympathy, an act of kindness, would lift burdens that rest heavily upon weary shoulders. And every word or deed or unselfish kindness is an expression of the love of Christ for lost humanity. Did you ever think of that? That every word that you and I say, or deed of unselfish kindness, is an expression of the love of Christ for humanity. A sincere, I love you, to someone outside and inside the family, may change a life forever. Everyone who is upset can be changed. And Betty, as she was writing, she tells about a neighbor, and the neighbor's name is Carolyn. And Carolyn was one of these people that just seemed to have more problems going on than she just seemed to be plagued with uncertainties and had difficulty responding socially. And she was just talking to Betty and just seemed to have more problems than she knew what to do with. Finally, Betty said this, I love you, Carolyn. I love you. All of a sudden, there was dead silence. Then Carolyn came back with, I love you too. From that day, Betty and Carolyn grew closer together. What a difference you and I can make. Well, what's all the point? And I've given you quite a few clues on it. And it's about people who Jesus loves, who are in his church family. And yet we do not even know the needs, the cares, the sorrows, the happiness, the joys that each one of these people are going through. Did you smile at somebody this morning and say, I love you, I care, thanks for being here? I hope you did. There's an old statement that said a long time ago, maybe some of you remember it, reach out and touch someone. Or as I'm going to put it, I love you. Will you reach out? Will you search for someone to say or write, I love you, I missed you? In fact, there's a couple young ladies that are here this morning, which just warms my heart that they're here. And in fact, when each one of you are here, you warm my heart because you are here. You and I can take a look at the church directory. And when we look at the church directory, we can say and see who is not here. We should do that each day, each week, and write a letter and say, really missed you. Betty remembers a love letter that she wrote This was to a cashier in our local supermarket. Of course, nowadays that would be a little more difficult for us to do. But she got so she knew her on a first-name basis. Eva, the cashier, had a ready smile and kindness. Each week, Betty writes, as I bought groceries, I felt she was giving me a gift as she rang up my purchases. She certainly took off the edge of having to pay the bill. After receiving my letter, she said with tear-filled eyes, you have given me much confidence. I have been asked to carry more responsibilities, and I didn't know if I could do it. And now you've increased my confidence so that I think I will be able to. A year later, Betty writes that Eva was promoted to an advanced to an assistant manager. Let me ask this question. Have you written a love letter to someone? Have you received one for someone? Have you received a message which cheered you up? Have you cheered someone else up? That's really what this is about. Betty closes her remarks of her article with this one. And think about it. As I think of my friend whose death developed this magnitude of I love yous in my life, I think of another friend who died before I could express my love for him. But since I found his death was caused by my sins, that I might have everlasting love through his everlasting life, I have told him daily, I love you, Jesus. I love you. Have you done that? Have you thought that? Do we say that? Do we think that? I love you, Jesus. Do you? Do I? Have you told someone, I love you? In the Desire of Ages, on page 641, it says this, love to man is the earthward manifestation of the love of God. It was an implant of his love to make us children of one family. The King of Glory became one with us. And when his parting words are fulfilled, love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12, when we love the world as he, Jesus, loved it, then his mission is accomplished. It's accomplished through us. We are fitted for heaven, for we have heaven in our hearts. To tell someone outside of the family, I love you, may be a new experience for you, as it may also be within the family. But it is a delightful thing to do for them, for Jesus, and for yourself. It forms a circle of Christian love, a circle of Christian love. There is not a moment of any day in everyone's life that these words, I love you, cannot but give encouragement. Who knows? They may bring about a new and a better course for both the one who offers them and the one who hears them. In 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. I love you, Jesus. Church family, I love each one of you. I sincerely do. May it be said to each of us, the words that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 3:9. You may want to turn there. We just got through studying that in our Sabbath school lesson, so it should not be unfamiliar to us. But there's a real good message here that Paul is writing to them, that we can apply it to our own lives. How can we thank God enough for you in return for the joy we have in the presence of God because of you? Everybody follow that? How can we thank God enough for you in return for the joy that we have in the presence of our God because of you? Wouldn't that be nice to be said of? That we, as individuals, have given that much joy to others? And in verses 12 and 13, it says this, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all of His holy ones." Sometimes late at night I lay awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams. So I turn out the lights and I lay there in the dark, and a thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she doubt the way that I feel about her in my heart? If tomorrow never comes? Amen.
Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you that you gave us a perfect example of love. May we follow that example, and as we look to those around us in our friends and family and acquaintances, may we look for those ways where we can reach out and express your love to them through us. And now from Romans, I read, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.